The epistle to be read today for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. Brethren, be followers of me and observe them that who walk as you have our model. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, and whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look to our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowliness, made like to the body of his glory, according to the operation, whereby also he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, and most desired, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beg of Evodia, and I beseech Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my sincere companion, help those women who have labored with me in the gospel with Clement and the rest of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus, rising up, followed him with his disciples. Behold, a woman who was troubled with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, Be of good heart, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the house of the ruler, who and saw the minstrels and multitude making a rout, he said, Give place, for the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the multitude was put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the country. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, Be of good heart, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the year 955, an immense army of the Huns marched into Germany. The Huns had penetrated deep into the German lands, and even as far as the Black Forest. These barbarians were devastating the whole land with fire and sword, and spreading dismay wherever they went. Nothing could escape the fury of these savage men. They rode their fast horses and seemed to fly over the plains. They were slaying the people or taking them prisoners. Before long, they reached the gates of Augsburg. Now the town was inadequately fortified and seemed to be an easy prey for the invaders. And so the inhabitants fell into despair. They knew they would be no match for the mighty Huns. At the thought of the terrible destruction, which seemed to be inevitable, they cried out, Alas, we are lost. The people were sure that cruel death and destruction of the city awaited them. Now Augsburg was the see of the saintly Bishop Ulrich. The Bishop Ulrich did not allow himself to yield to the general despondency. He besought the people to take courage and to put their confidence in God. He ordered the people to pray publicly and to be offered up throughout the city public prayers. And thus, the people besought God to have pity upon them and to save them from the sword of the Huns. The enemy, as was anticipated, attacked the city with overwhelming numbers. But the inhabitants regained courage from the bishop's words. They flew to arms and vigorously drove the Huns back. St. Ulrich himself was present during the battle in order to encourage his flock. Dressed in his pontifical vestments, he stood in the midst of the soldiers with hands raised to heaven. This gave his people fresh courage to withstand the attack. Moreover, they had all, with the greatest fervor and devotion, received Holy Communion before going into battle. The townspeople were thus inflamed with heroic resolution to save their city and their people, or to die in their defense. Now the Huns, who had hitherto found little opposition in conquering much of Europe, did not expect to meet the resistance they had now encountered. They thought they would easily take the small city, which was so poorly defended. But they were thrown off guard by the sudden courage of the people. And in the first attack, the Huns were repulsed, and they retired from the walls to prepare for another and more powerful assault. But just as they were about to renew the assault, Emperor Otto arrived with an immense army who were well organized. Seeing themselves thus situated, the Huns dared not begin to attack the city again. Instead, they concentrated their forces to meet the army of the emperor on the plains behind them. But their undisciplined hordes could not withstand the well-trained soldiers of the emperor. And thus, in August 955, a terrible and bloody battle was fought. And Emperor Otto succeeded in gaining a glorious victory, completely destroying the forces of the enemy. The emperor succeeded even though he was greatly outnumbered, for he had 10,000 men against 50,000 Huns. And thus, by the confident prayers of the holy Bishop Ulrich and the devout people of Augsburg, their city was saved from imminent destruction. Now, in today's gospel, our Lord heals two people. First, a woman who had an illness for 12 years. And yet, she persevered, and because of her great faith and confidence in our Lord, she was healed. And so great was her faith that she told herself all she had to do was touch our Lord's garments, and she would be healed. And in return, our Lord said to her, "Be of good heart, daughter. Thy faith has made thee whole." And she was cured from her illness. Then our Lord proceeded to the house of the ruler, who had asked our Lord to bring his daughter back to life. He too had great confidence in Christ, for even though his daughter was dead, he said to our Lord, "Come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." And so our Lord entered the ruler's house and went to the girl. He took her by the hand, and she arose. She was raised back to life by the power of God. The prayer of the ruler had been answered because of his great faith and confidence in our Lord. My dear faithful, in this gospel, then, we see two striking examples of how we ought to ask favors from our Lord. We must approach him like the woman and like the ruler in the gospel. That is, we must approach him with great confidence. As the Venerable Blosius says, indeed, by means of prayer, every blessing is attainable. Let us then beseech our Lord in prayer, but let our prayer be said with confidence. For the more confidence we have, the more readily God will hear our prayers. Like a loving father, God wants us to come and ask him for favors. And so he says to us, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Let us then approach God in prayer, just like a child would approach his parent for help. As the same author, the Venerable Blosius, says, "As often as you will, your heavenly Father will grant you an audience. He is ever ready to soothe your anguish, to comfort your distress, and to restore peace in your troubled mind." My dear faithful, God is always ready to answer our requests. However, his answer may not always be the one we are looking for. But we must remember that God will always answer our prayers in the best way for us. He is our loving Father, and he knows what is best for us. And so he provides for us with what will help us the most. And thus, God will grant all that you ask for in prayer, provided it be expedient to your salvation. And if it is not expedient, he will provide you with something more conducive to your welfare. He knows how and when to supply for your wants, just as a parent knows what is best for his child. And so parents don't always give the child what he wants. Look at the example of Christ himself. During the agony in the garden, he asked his Father to let this cup pass from him. He offered this prayer 3 times. However, his request was not heard, so to speak, but his confidence was rewarded. For although his Father did not let this cup pass from him, he nevertheless sent an angel to comfort him. So let us then, my dear faithful, increase our confidence in God. We must have confidence like the townspeople of Augsburg, Germany. For though they knew they would be no match for the Huns, they prayed to God for help. And God rewarded their confidence by answering their prayers. First, God helped them to ward off the enemy's first attack. And then he sent Emperor Otto's army to defeat the Huns, even though they were outnumbered. And so when we pray, let us remember that God is our loving Father, who is always looking out for our best interests. Let us especially remember this when it seems that our prayers aren't being answered. For truly, God is waiting to grant our request. He wants us to ask for what you need and to persevere in our prayers, so that he can answer our prayers. So go to him then in all your needs, and he will grant what you ask, or at least give you what is best for you. As St. Alphonsus says, "We have a God who loves us to excess, and who is solicitous for our salvation. And therefore, he is always ready to hear all who ask for his graces. So ask as much as you wish, for all that you ask will be given to you." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.